Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know what? I'm just so tired of religious folks, you know what I'm saying? That bound spirit, and I love them. I'm just tired of that. It's just like, come on, are you serious? You know, we don't have long flowing robes. Oh, I guess we do, but they just come in like Hawaiian shirts now. You know, the kind of loose.
Saint shirts,
and it's like, come on, dude. Listen, we are for the body of Christ. We are for Jesus. We are for the kingdom of God. It's time to break loose outside of our mortar and outside of our bricks and come out into the streets where Jesus was found in the streets and let people know that God loves them and God's got a plan for the life. Okay, yes. I'm excited about this week. I'm excited because the same old thing has been going on since the beginning, since Jesus came, was born of a virgin, and all of a sudden the king of the day wanted to try to destroy the word of the day. His name was Jesus. Can we find the revelation and kill the revelation? Of course, a lot of people died because of them religious folks.
Yeah,
a lot of people died trying to kill what God was doing. But, you know, you can't, all the wisdom of man cannot destroy the wisdom of God. All the strength of man can't stop it.
Right.
And, but many people get destroyed and hurt. And I couldn't imagine standing before the throne of God and being responsible for killing a whole bunch of children thinking I was doing God a favor trying to kill Moses. Mm. Can you imagine that? Crazy. Can you imagine? I just can't imagine that. Or trying to kill Jesus and having, you know, all those dead babies around that you were trying to kill and you were used by the enemy to do that. I just can't imagine. That's what happened. You remember?
Yeah.
When Moses was born, you know, his mama had to put him in an ark, a little ark, if you would, and put him in the river and send him up the river all by himself with just God looking over him. Because if he would have stayed home, if he would have stayed in his Nazareth, he would have been dead. They would have killed him. They would have killed Moses. Isn't that terrible? Listen, if anything that I've been, you know, in my life, and since I've been born again, and Pat can vouch for this, is naive. And so can my spiritual father, who's now with the Lord. You know, I was always like, you know, this knife inside of me right now, they didn't really mean to put this knife inside. They didn't want to kill the revelation, right?
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's true. True story.
Yeah, you know, Pat's going like, I just pulled the last knife out.
You're going for another
one again? You know, I just took the nail out of your hand that was on the cross. Anyway, so and then, you know, here's Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. And as soon as it's the same thing, another leader, you know, begins to say, I got to stop. You know, he was taken over by the devil and tried to take down Jesus and started killing babies left and right. So much so that God had to give his daddy, his you know, Joseph, his a dream and say, you know, dude, in a dream, he had to say, because he couldn't even watch the morning news to find out what was going on. He didn't realize, you know what I'm saying? There was no texting going on or nothing, but Jesus was always communicating. The news was always there, and he said, run, you know, God says, run for his life. And they take off, and they begin to move. If they wouldn't have moved, they would have died. Don't tell me that God doesn't speak to you in a dream. We wouldn't even have a Savior if God didn't operate that way, because that's where Joseph heard in a dream what he was supposed to do, that he was supposed to be married to Mary, that he was not supposed to have intimacy with his wife until Jesus was born, and his name would be, it was confirmed in a dream that his name would be Jesus. So Mary didn't say, well, I tell you, God, I prayed last night, and God told me his name's got to be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Got like banners all over the house, little markers in his Bible, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No, she didn't try to manipulate Joseph or nothing. She just kind of shared with it. And he's going like, okay, well, I'm gonna go ahead and divorce you now, because I've never heard of, you know, immaculate conception and all that. So I'm just going to go ahead and quietly just go, I don't know what happened in that cave, but I'm just going to, it's just over. Right.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and he just kind of respectfully tried to leave. And then God spoke to him in a dream. And he said, listen, you know, this is me. What she's telling you is true, basically. And then his name is going to be Jesus. And then later on, he tells him another dream. You need to get up and go, because another leader is going to try to kill God, God's messengers again, and God's son. And it just, you know, this is what Jesus told us. He said, listen, there's going to be a day coming that people are going to kill you and say they're doing me a favor, doing God a favor.
Right.
And you think, you know, at some point, in what part of our history did we learn that that, okay, we saw that happen in the last century, so we don't want to do that in this century. Okay, we saw that in the last decade, so we don't want to do it in this decade. Okay, we just saw it last year. We've learned last year, right? We don't want to do it this year, you know? And it's like, oh. And then you start thinking about it. You know, I just really been meditating on this weekend, as you can tell. And who did Jesus have issues with? Well, who was obviously nobody's under his skin. But I got to say, the way he responded, when you're rebuking somebody and you're calling them whitewashed tombs and you're calling them,
dead
man's bones, mm-hmm. you're saying that, you know, you're making them twice as much a son as hell as you are. I mean, I have to say, I would assume he's speaking to us about being religious versus relational.
Yeah.
And he was talking to the people that taught people about God. He was talking to people who taught people about God. And, my goodness, you know, it's just like, I think, you know, that when he said, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do it unto me, that we have, that ends with, by the way, that explanation of how the goat and the sheep situation is going to go is, it doesn't say because you said a prayer, you're a sheep in how you treat people. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you're not a sheep because you said, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace. You know, we're not going to talk about the Pope today. But, or you said, you know, forgive me, you know, and I want you to be my Savior. But then you go out and treat people like hell in the name of religion. He said, listen, when I was hungry, when I was thirsty, you know, in other words, how you interacted with people determined who you really were. You know, you could be like a sheep on the outside, but a wolf on the inside.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so then he separates them, not based on whether we said a prayer or something, or whether we read our Bible, or whether we, you know, sacrificed everything and prophesied everything, not where we used our gifts or not, and accurately or not accurately. He separated us based on how we treated people. And it ended with the sheep treated, the definition of the sheep is how they treated people, what was in their heart. Knowing what was in their heart, Jesus said, listen, dude and dudette, listen, don't quit worrying about what men think about it. God knows what's in your heart. If your heart is that way towards your brother or your sister, you know, and they're a Christian, that's the body of Christ. And that's how you're treating Jesus, bro. That's how you're treating Jesus, man. You can't do that. I don't care how high your hat is and how flowing your robe is, that we're all going to stand there before the one who truly has the robe of justice at the throne of grace, and he's going to separate us there. I just want to encourage you. Listen, it's a lot sweeter and nicer to be down there with Mary with a busted alabaster box while people are criticizing you than to be the one that's standing up around Jesus who is seated down criticizing Mary for what he's doing and Jesus's mm-hmm. way of using finance, if you mm-hmm. would, in the ministry right there. But then he separates, he takes all the goats, and he says, listen, you're going to go because the way you treated people, you're going to go to where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's saying, listen, heaven and hell is going to be based off of whether we make Jesus our Lord and Savior, but the fruit will determine whether we've done that or not, and the fruit doesn't save us, but it lets everybody know that we are.
Mm-hmm.
And how we treat people, and it's amazing, in the name of God, how evil people can be, and the most evil of all, the ones that smile to your face, and go out in the back and say all kinds of evil things. And David talked about it. David said, dear God, he said, my bones are wasted away. He says, I feel so isolated and alone, and even my neighbors and my friends don't want to have anything to do with me. Oh, dear God, what has happened? You know what? He was a man after God's own heart. He was the accurate one in the kingdom. Isn't that amazing?
Right. Yeah.
It's totally amazing. I just wouldn't want to be the one that was dissing David. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm. I just want to encourage you. You know, you'll have a lot more energy and time if you don't worry about what the Pharisee or the Sadducee is saying. And how would you describe that? You would call that a religious spirit. Somebody's just bound by self-righteousness, and they're basically speaking out and praying against the body of Christ instead of for the body of Christ. And it's sort of like an audience. And most of the church has turned into an audience in America, and they just kind of watch these shows. Versus like, hey, you're going to have to be held accountable. You're going to stand alone before God all by yourself, no matter what your gender is, no matter what your age is, no matter what your race is, no matter whether you're a pastor or you're a parishioner, whether you're a member of a church or you're actually the administrator of a church gathering, it doesn't matter. All alone, all by yourself, you're going to stand before God. No witnesses or no suspects. And it seems like things have been compartmentalized to believe that we can just allow, watch all this and live vicariously through others and say, you know, I'm going to own my relationship with God. I'm going to do whatever I can do for God in the vapor of time I have left. And if it's in his will, this is what I want to do for him. I want to be able to be fruitful for him. I want to be the sheep that stands before his throne that says, when he hears these words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, you've been, and he talks even about the talents. You know, it doesn't matter if you got one talent. Work it hard, man. I mean, work it. I mean, just be glad. You'll be probably the better than anybody else at it because you got one talent and you know how to do everything. You can open cans with it. You can run with it. You can fight battles with it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can sleep and lean on it. I mean, whatever it is. It's amazing when people have just a limited amount of talents. They can just work it. But people who's got this huge toolbox, like, well, I don't know. Am I going to do this today? Am I going to do that today? It's like, whew. My goodness. And it's just like, whatever you got, realize that he's just expecting us to do, be faithful to what he's entrusted to us. I'm saying that because, you know, I think about, you know, what God said on my heart. I think about what Chuck Pierce said about America. He says the reason why the government of America is stuck and the governments of the world is stuck, it just seems like to be, you know, my congressman is like sending me an email and I'm like, I didn't even want to read it. It's the same thing. I'm like, are you going to talk about parties and, you're going to talk about this party or that party or him or her. And it's like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you doing as an individual? What are mm-hmm. you doing as a congressman? What are you doing as a senator? And it's so weird. It's just like, you know, when you were little, you know, as a kid, you know, if you're arguing with your sister or your brother, you wouldn't know about that.
No.
You just kind of go, nuh-uh, right? Nuh-uh. Well, she did or well, he did. It's like, but that gets nowhere. I mean, we're supposed to grow out of that. Yeah. You know, at some point when we grow up, then somebody just says, you know, we're going to do something about this. We're going to do something, even if we die doing it.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.